and WBAI.org on the web. It's 1 p.m. in New York. Coming up next, The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And we have questions. We have questions all the time. Here's a medical riddle. When is just a touch of a disease worse than the full-blown thing? And here's a hint, worse for whom? Suppose it's not the sick person you're worried about, but the person's friends, family, colleagues, and clients. This goes to two authors who wrote a book called Almost a Psychopath, which suggests that people with just a few of the dangerous characteristics of a psychopath may take a greater toll on their community than those with the full-fledged diagnosis. Only because the partly psychopathic are much more pervasive and elusive. So let's talk about what a psychopath is. A psychopath in its purest form is somebody without guilt. They just don't have it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live? Imagine no guilt. No, you just don't have it. Actually, it's not even no guilt. It's no remorse. And that means you don't regret anything you did. Now, some people consider that to be an ideal condition. And it may very well be, except I like my sense of responsibility. And I like having my sense of remorse because I want to be able to regret the things that I do that I think I shouldn't be doing. So many people have absolutely no sense of guilt. And they can easily become politicians. How can you become a politician? It's so easy. If you don't have any shame or remorse or guilt, you can say anything you want as long as you could schmooze people. Schmooze, for those of you who don't know, is spreading chicken fat on. No, to schmooze is to basically make people feel safe in what you're saying, and they adore you, and you have, and you're wonderful, and you're professional, and you're charming, and you say the right things, and you are tall, and you're a leader, and you're egotistical, but behind it you have a deceitfulness, a sense of aggression. You manipulate, but you don't have the empathy. You have just enough normalcy to avoid detection. I tell you, my friends, many more people than you think, because when you're kids in this society, sometimes you just hate your sense of guilt. Sometimes your parents keep reminding you how responsible you are and should be. And at one point, you just break away. You break your mind. You break your mind and you say to your mind, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to care about anything. Now, there are certain drugs that help you with that. Cocaine is terrific for that. Crack is fabulous for that. No remorse, no guilt, no shame. That's why the drugs are so popular. Because they free you of those feelings. Now you don't feel responsible for your mother anymore. Now you don't feel responsible for everybody being sick. Now you don't feel like you have to get a job. Because you're freed by the chemistry of it. Well, some people have this switch cut off. And they don't care as long as they get what they want. Now, the true psychopath, as in Taxi Driver, you remember that movie? Robert De Niro. The true psychopath, he doesn't walk around for too long. They wind up in prison. They wind up because they go out there and they believe they should have anything they want. And they could very, very likely live a high criminal life until they get detected, caught, locked up. But this almost psychopath is one that we see everywhere. And what happens with it is they take such a toll on people. Number one, they're inherently fascinating. They rise high. They could be great financiers. They could be politicians. You can admire them. They could be competent, self-disciplined, high-achieving. They could be lots of fun, laughing, wonderful. Problem is that somewhere in here there is no heart. When I say no heart, it doesn't mean that they don't love. Because the psychopath and the near psychopath, I'm doing a new word today, near psychopath, they do have a sense of love. I remember Oliver North, when he was on trial, talking about, you know, justifying some of his behaviors. He talked about the love of his family, and that's why he did some of the things that he did. And I looked at it and I said, sure, there's a sense of love you could have, but can you have love without having guilt? Yes. You know, you absolutely love something, you want to possess it, you have no guilt. So, psychopathy, which is the word that talks about, it's the field of the psychopath, is something to consider. Now, many of you are either in it, that means you're a near psychopath, or you've been a victim of it as well. How do we become victims? How do we get here? How do we get to that spot? Well, it has to do with betrayal, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, as well as the psychopath. We're going to talk about betrayal. Betrayal is such an interesting word. Betrayal is, you know, I think it was in Luke Chapter 21, verse 10. I'm quoting the Bible. And you shall be betrayed both by your parents, your brothers, and your kinfolk, and your friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. That somewhere in here, you'll be delivered up even by your parents, your brethren. And it talks about betrayal a great deal in the Bible. Basically saying that you are going to be betrayed if you follow the religion, because if you follow the religion, you're going to be betrayed, so you can trust nobody but the big guy in charge. Who's the most famous betrayer of all? Who do you think of when I say betrayal? Which one do you think of, right? Benedict Arnold? Right? Eggs Benedict? No. Who else do you think of? You think of the Goldbergs with the atomic bomb? Who do you think of? You think of Judas? Yeah, Judas. Judas Iscariot? Was that the name? Judas, right? 30 pieces of silver. Turn you in, right? Let's talk about a description. Okay, to betray somebody is to deliver or expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. Now, betrayal, it's such an interesting word. I'm going to step back for a minute to give you a model of the human. We're going to talk about the chakras. You know, the development of the chakras, the lower three chakras of the human, according to the Sanskrit and other things, is the lower three chakras, money, sex, and power. Think about that. Money, sex, and power. It is money, sex, and power is the bottom of most misdeeds. Why did he do that? Well, it was either for money, for sex, or for power. Now, of course, money, sex, and power could come in all one thing. You know, he went around and he did this thing with this other guy's wife. It could be all for money, sex, and power. But usually it's money, sex, or power. And money, sex, and power is at the basis of most poor functioning humanness. Whereas the next step above that is what we're supposed to develop, which is to develop our spirituality, which kind of removes us from that struggle. But money, sex, and power, almost all betrayal is based on money, sex, and power. So different kinds of betrayal. One is to be unfaithful in guarding, maintaining, or fulfilling, to betray a trust. Your job was to take care of this person. You didn't do it. Right? Your job was to take care of your children. Your children, you turned around and somebody took your child. In a way, you betray your child. To disappoint the hopes of expectations, to reveal or disclose in violation of confidence, to betray a secret. Right? And the other form of betrayal is when somebody betrays themselves. And that happens a lot when a person is, they're trying to tell you one thing, but they get very nervous and they betray themselves because you see from their body behavior that they're not telling the absolute truth. And why are we talking about this? We're talking about this today because betrayal is a very important aspect of human functioning and a very important aspect of love. Here's what I said to somebody the other day, and she was shocked that I said it. I said, if you love, she thought, love is total surrender. Haven't you heard that all your life? If you love somebody, you just surrender completely. I'm yours. Right? No. Love is surrender to a point with an appropriate amount of apprehension and an appropriate amount of vigilance. You keep your eyes open. So when you love somebody, you don't turn over everything and say, here, I'm all yours, chop me up, do what you want with me. That's not what love is about. That's not loving. That may be giving up your personality, you know, but you turn yourself over to somebody else and they got to step all over you. True love is maintaining a sense of self, a sense of vigilance, and letting yourself be free with somebody. Now, it makes so much sense. But on the other hand, what most people sell and say is that you love completely and you abandon all guards. Well, then that's where we come to betrayal. You see, it was an interesting quote. Let me find this quote. One who does not know, here it is. It was such a beautiful thing. Betrayal and passion. Here it is. Anyone who has not experienced the ecstasy of betrayal knows nothing about ecstasy at all. The ecstasy of betrayal. How could that be ecstatic? What a feeling it is. What an intense, intense feeling it is. It rips at your core. It takes you right down to the bottom of your heart. It makes you look at everything you believed in, and it shatters it. And it's almost like you got struck by lightning. Whew. Such an intense, intense thing. There are people who will never feel that. And there are people who feel that repeatedly. They put themselves in positions where that happens to them over and over again. And the question becomes, have you been betrayed before? Oh, yeah, my first husband, my second husband, my third husband, and my fourth husband all betrayed me. It's almost like we wonder, well, maybe you get something out of this in some way. Now, I am saying that the only defense against betrayal is to love with an open eye. And to say, okay, you can hurt me. I can trust you, and you could turn around and you could hurt me. You can do something, but you see, every time I feel betrayed, if I really, really look at it, I see that I had an investment in you saying, or me believing something about you that wasn't true. So the worst betrayal is when we want to paint a pretty picture. If I want to paint the picture of you being this wonderful, great human being who would never do this thing to me, and then you do this thing, or you lie to me, or you suddenly start screaming at me, or you're yelling at me, or suddenly I can't figure out what's going on, it's because I had these expectations, because I had these hopes, because I wanted to be in love. I wanted to be so surrendered. But when you look at it, and you look at how wonderful it is to be really cared for, and then suddenly you feel betrayed and turned down, and you just, my hopes were real out there. So the people who get the most betrayed, believe it or not, are the people who are the most vulnerable. And the people who are the most vulnerable are not the people who have opened their hearts to true love, but it's the people who were most vulnerable before they found a mate. Then they opened themselves up because they thought that mate was going to save their lives. And then the expectations and the hopes they had of that mate get shattered by that mate saying to them, here's what's really true. I really don't love you as much as I love you. I really don't care about you. I don't really care about your well-being. Yes, I took your money out of the bank. Yes, I'm gambling it away, and I'm also doing drugs on the side, and I'm having sex with your sister. And it's a sudden discovery, and you go, oh, how did all this happen? Well, listen, we get better. The nice thing, the very interesting thing about advanced age, right? The nice thing, we got the good news of getting older. You don't react as seriously. You don't react as intensely. Something happens to you and you suddenly say, but you know, that person took my money, or that person told me that I was going to buy this car and the car was terrible. When you find out that something you believed was not as great as you believed, or when it turned out to be false, you kind of nod your head and you say, one of those things that didn't work out. 4 out of 5 work out and 1 doesn't work out. But when you're young and you put all your hopes into something and you put everything, that first or second one will really kill you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about psychopathy and betrayal. And we will be taking your calls a little later in the show. Okay, before we go further, we must talk about culture. Because in certain societies, betrayal is like part of the thing. There are islands that I know of, there are places I know, especially in the Caribbean, where a person could have 2 or 3 families spread out around the country, but the 2 or 3 don't know about each other. You know, and this is kind of like a common thing. Where a person could have, there's all kinds of falseness, and it's all an acceptable part of the culture. Money fraud here with our Internal Revenue Service and the system we have with cheating on the government. You know what I mean? I mean the whole idea that you've got to try to use as many angles as you can to get away with as many things as you can, and you have to fear an audit by the Internal Revenue Service because they're going to catch you doing something that legally you probably shouldn't be doing, but I don't say you shouldn't be doing it, but you're using your agent, of course, and you get caught, or somebody turns you in and you feel really shamed and you feel terrible and you get afraid. This is what leads us to the sense of feeling insecure and feeling violated. Let's say that you have somebody who you care about who's got an alcohol or an addiction problem. Whew. Boy, talk about betrayals. Now, if you love somebody or you have a relationship with somebody who is always doing drugs in one form or another, I don't care what they are, it could be marijuana, it could be even cigarettes. Well, I'm not so sure about cigarettes, but it could be marijuana, or it could be cocaine, any of the drugs, right? They're doing drugs on alcohol on a regular basis. The one thing that they don't betray is their drug. The drug is their first relationship, and you're their second relationship. So when you suddenly find out, when you say to them, hey, I want you to give that up and never go back to it, and they say, okay, I won't do it anymore, and then you find them doing it again, are you betrayed? Well, this is their first allegiance was to the drug. This is what you know about them. So are you betrayed? If a person says to you, I am going to not have this other relationship, let's say you catch somebody in a relationship with someone else, and then you find out 6 months later they're still in that relationship, are you betrayed? Well, I don't know. Who could we blame? Where's a person's allegiance? So I think that betrayal is something that we want to use as a way of getting angry at people, and we really set ourselves up for it. And I think we have to take a little more responsibility as to how it happens. Now, there is a thing which I talked about called betrayal trauma. Jennifer Freed, F-R-E-Y-D, talks about betrayal trauma, and she said that there is a biological, psychological, biopsychosocial response to an insult. And it's betrayal trauma is a reaction that your body can have to discovering a betrayal that actually gets you not to feel it. So it's like the person walking in, finding out that their mate is having sex with somebody else, and they actually physically don't see it. It disappears from their eyes. Your body has the capacity to do this because betrayal trauma is something that will take over your entire body because it violates your understanding of rules, roles, relationships, and it's so big you just don't want to believe it. And this happens a lot to children who are sexually abused. They have this betrayal trauma, which they don't remember it. They can't remember what went on. They can't remember who's doing it. Betrayal trauma also happens a lot nowadays, and we've been hearing a lot about it in bullying. Bullying on the internet. You know, these teenagers get bullied and then they go commit suicide. And they can't take it anymore because it is so bad that it shuts them off. Yet they will continue to look at it and feed it and work with it. We're in a world, my friends, where we have to take a little more responsibility for that, where we consider ourselves victims. I love that some of you are so open-hearted and beautiful and you're just there as an innocent. But there's something about being an innocent for so long a period of time that eventually is going to wind up being costly. And if you continue, it's hard to really blame the other person. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls early in today's program. 212-209-2900. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. Talk about political betrayal since we're at it, since there's so much political stuff out there. Most adults living in Western democracies place their trust in something. If your trust is betrayed at its worst, you can feel bad, but almost every time we discover some trust being betrayed politically, we don't seem to have a severe reaction. We have a kind of a regret, a remorse, a kind of like, oh, I wish I could have trusted that person. But, you know, what are we doing? Why did we ever think that a politician can be trusted? The word is political. It almost means to tell a story. It means I'm going to tell you a story so you'll give me votes, so I will get into office. And I'm never going to say, do the things I said I was going to do, or I'm only going to do part of them. I'm not going to do them all. I'm going to try to get away with it as much as I can. But mainly, I just need your votes. And by nature of the fact that I choose to enter a profession where I'm going to try to get you to vote for me above all else, that's all I care about. I care about nothing else but you voting for me. Therefore, everything I say to you, if I go to a group and the group happens to be over 60 years old, I talk about we're going to keep Medicare. Right, we're going to make it work. We're going to. If I go to people and they're very rich, I'm going to say I'm going to cut the taxes for the very wealthy. Right, every place I go, I am going to adapt my speech to make you believe one thing or another, but I have only one purpose in mind, which is to get your vote. That's all I want. And once I get your vote, those truths that I can say, oh, you know, the Congress was against me. I couldn't do it because I tried so hard. But that was never the idea. The idea was to get your vote, and look, what if we look at this consciously? What if we say, okay, who am I going to elect? Which one is going to be my presidential candidate? Which one could do the least damage? Might be the way you see it, or which one would be, but I don't expect anybody's going to be telling me the truth as a politician. And then you find out the politicians all wind up betraying somebody else anyway, in one form or another, and you're shocked by it. And what's all this stuff about sexual betrayal that all these politicians do? They all seem to get caught with their pants down, and it's just, you know, it's almost boring. It's like, and this is it, and this is why we kick them out of office, and this is why we say they can't be leaders. Well, probably true, because if they had to be so sneaky, you know, they probably can't be leaders, but they were probably never leaders in the first place. But what about you, my friends? How many of you have suffered with some form of betrayal at the hands, possibly, at a psychopath? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, do not just get on the phone and talk about how bad the other guy is. I want you to get on the phone when you call me up and talk about the needs that you had going into that, so that when you realize the needs that you had, you can now look at that and say, ah, I was really needy. I just broke up a marriage, and after that marriage, I was feeling really depressed, and then I fell in love with this guy who came along, and then I was in love with, but falling in love, the very falling in love was like seeing that he was my savior. And I was willing to overlook everything, right? The fact that he still lived with his mother, and the fact that he was, you know, 50 years old, and the fact that he didn't have a job yet. I overlooked all of that because I fell in love. And then all of a sudden I notice that my checkbook is missing, and something is gone, or something happens, or this person has a loyalty more to his mother than he does to me, and I'm shocked. Well, I understand. Your innocence supposedly is lost. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. My job here is to help you grow. I care about you learning about yourself. I want you to learn that everything that happens to you, almost everything, almost there are some exceptions, is part of a production, a something that you go, that you do, that you've kept going, that you wanted to keep going up until now. If you are willing to see your participation, the piece of you that is being active in this, that has made this happen, you're going to wind up making better choices later on. You're going to say to yourself, well, all right, I'm very needy, and I meet this person, and I fall in love. All right, okay, let me recognize my neediness. And then when that person turns on you, you still refer to your own neediness, not to what a victim you are because they turned on you, because people change, and maybe it wasn't what you thought it was. So I would like you to reflect yourself. 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break. After we take our break today, we're going to come back and we're going to continue, and we'll take your phone calls right after that. The idea here is for you to be able to see in every situation where you put yourself, where you wound up becoming the victim of a betrayal in some way. Now, there are times that it's almost hard to say, like date rape. Let's talk about date rape. You go out on a date, you don't expect that this person is going to become violent and force you into a situation. So I'm not going to say you should take responsibility for date rape. There are times that people act way outside of any human, true human consideration. But if that happens to you three times, hey, it's your third time. You know, the first time, you're a victim. Second time, you can be a victim. Third time, what's going on here? What's going on, and how is this happening over and over again to you? All right, 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break. This is Armand DeMille. When I get back, some special music for you from Tracy Chapman, of all things, a really beautiful piece. And then we'll continue and take your phone calls. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Give me one reason to stay here. Turn right back.
Tracy Chapman, give me one good reason. So, you know, that's kind of goes along with what we played the other day when we talked about just one more chance, give me one more chance. Well, we watch, you know, we watch with vigilance. And one of the ways of loving, I say, is you love with vigilance. You love with awareness, with consciousness. 212-209-2900. I got a bunch of calls on the line. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I here?
Yes, you are.
Yes, this is a huge topic, and I'll try to narrow it down. I feel betrayed by not meeting anyone who is honest, and some people think, oh, how could you be idealistic in this kind of a world? You have to expect people to be corrupt, and I don't know how I could live if I expected people to be corrupt. I do want to think that I can trust somebody.
Yeah, of course.
Betrayed so often, so frequently, by so many.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to just go about my life with, you know, caring about the trees or the pigeon racers that died. I don't know if you heard the story, but it was on National Public Radio that the racing pigeons, 13 came back out of 232, and the racer is from an old folk, you know, tradition of pigeon racing, and he said the medulla is affected by the transformers. And how would I ever fight that? I think, oh, my God, I would hope that everybody throws their cell phone away, because that can't only affect the pigeons.
Okay, well, wait. What's your name?
No, I'm going off the
top. What's your name? It's all right.
But I feel so
what
much.
What is your name?
Penelope,
let's stop for a minute, okay?
I'm sorry.
And let's, that's all right. That's all right. Penelope, I love you. You're here. Let me stop for a minute and talk to you about it, because here's what you're asking me. You're saying, my heart, I feel like such an innocent, because I have been so frequently betrayed. My trust has been betrayed. There are people who will not tell me the truth. Now, I can fully understand, Penelope, that you, who might be concerned about a lot of things in life that are really beautiful, I can fully appreciate that you feel the torment of this. But here's the question. The question is the one about honesty. People are not honest with someone when they feel that they're going to lose something. So if somebody wanted to be with Penelope and that person said to you the truth, you may not want to be with them. But if they told you a lie, you may want to be with them. So if they said to you, you know, I really love and I care about pigeons' well-beings, Penelope may say, let me make you dinner. But if they said, you know, I like to eat pigeons, Penelope might not invite them over to dinner.
Yeah, well, somebody said, well, that's good because they didn't like pigeons.
Okay, so therefore, you are saying that if someone lies to you, they can get close to you.
No, when they lied, I definitely...
When you find out the lie, you get rid of them. But for someone to get close to you, they have to lie to you because the consequences are that you would reject them if they told the truth. So here's my practice for you, Penelope.
It's very lonely.
Yeah, no, but you see, you don't have to be as lonely. Because one of the things you do is you start rewarding people for telling you the truth. So instead of inviting the person over for dinner, maybe you'll bake them a pie. You know, maybe you'll do something from a distance. But what you want to do is begin to celebrate people telling you the truth that is uncomfortable. And that puts you in a position where people start telling you the truth. Because to me, very few people ever lie to me because I don't punish people for telling the truth.
Oh, I think if somebody told me the truth and that few person...
Well, let's use this as an example. Let's say you were walking down the street with somebody, you know, let's say you have a date, right? Who's the last person you went out with?
I was betrayed by that last person. He slept with my girlfriend.
Okay, good. So what if he said to you, when you went out with him, before he did that, he said to you, you know, I'm very attracted to your girlfriend.
He did say that.
He did say it to you.
I'm fascinated by her.
I'm fascinated by her. And what did you say to him? Did you say, I don't want to hear you say that anymore? And then he said to you, I think I'm going to go out with her and I think I'm going to sleep with her. He didn't give you that warning. You just discovered that, right?
It's so complicated. It just was a drunken episode, and I tried to have the betrayal be not denial, I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought, well, he must hate me for something that he did this against me.
Yeah, I understand. You see, Penelope, so here's the question we have. The question we have is, can somebody tell you the truth? Can they really tell you the truth? And that's... And what we do, all of us, is we get people to carve their truth so that it's palatable to us. So here's what I say about most of the time I ever find out somebody is lying to me or has lied to me. I said, I've made it uncomfortable for them to tell me the truth.
Oh.
And I take that as a responsibility, but not with shame. I don't feel bad. I wonder how I did that.
Well, then it always boomerangs to how you made that person deceptive?
Yes, it not boomerangs, because boomerangs would mean that you get hurt. It goes back to, it's the only way we could do it. The only way I could develop myself and you could develop yourself is to look at what part you played in it. Because their motives we can't question. We can only say, where were you? And you sound like a really lovely person. And it sounds like you've got a lot of room to grow.
I love my kitty cat.
Yeah, fine.
My kitty cat's always honest. It's definitely...
I'm not so sure.
Well, I'm just going to fake it so that you love me.
You never know. They may say, I'm just going to fake it so you'll give me a little more cat food.
That's what he's doing now.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Penelope.
Well,
thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I used to think dogs loved me. My dog really loves me. So I was once on a beach when I remember I was in Jamaica and I was laying on a beach and there was a dog that came along on the beach early in the morning and this dog thought I was the greatest thing in the world. I had a little food for the dog. I ran out of food and I thought I had got a new brand new friend, this dog here. He really, God must have sent him. I think I was 20 years old. And then all of a sudden somebody else comes down the beach and he's got something in his hand and the dog gets up, takes off and follows the other person down the beach. And I said, boy, that was a short-lived love. It had nothing to do with love. It had to do with who had the food. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just want to thank you for your show, and I want to say that was an excellent response that you gave to the person earlier. Thank you so much. My comment is regarding a comment that you made about the betrayal, culture of betrayal in the Caribbean.
Okay, that could be.
I'm from the Caribbean, and I just want to kind of offer my perspective on that. I've been thinking about that a lot, about the fact that especially men marry or have affairs with different women and carry on different families. To me, it's not really a culture of betrayal. It's more a culture of denial, because in the Caribbean, there is this thing of, there is a very strict separation between the private and the public. And I think that because Christianity has the very strict rules about what you should do and what you should not do, one of these rules being that you should not engage in polygamous relationships, a lot of people cannot come right out and say, I am a polygamist, or I want to engage in a polygamous relationship. So they go behind the doors and they do it, and everybody knows about it, but no one pretty much talks about it. You know, what you do in your private life, you do it. That's fine.
Could I ask you a question about that? What's your name?
Marie.
Marie, then why does it happen so much in that culture and not as much in another culture where the same Christianity is there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I'm not in a position to say that it happens more in a culture than in others. I know that polygamy exists in many different cultures, and I know that men go around and have different wives and different families.
Well, different wives and different families is a pretty, it's a pretty extraordinary thing. You can't get away with that too much in, you know, it, up here, around here, because somebody would find out. Because I think part of what makes it convenient is that when you get out of town, you could do something in another town that somebody won't hear about in your town. I think because the communication may not be as strong. Maybe that's what allows for it. But I wanted to ask you something, Marie.
Yes.
Have you been hurt by this yourself?
No, actually, no. I've become pretty liberal about that, because I'm in a place where I'm trying to understand people more than condemning them. There are different reasons why people engage in polygamous relationships. I studied African polygamy. And one of the reasons Africans engage in polygamous relationships is that divorce, traditionally divorce was not allowed in such cultures.
Uh-huh.
So if you had a relationship that you were somewhat dissatisfied with, you were not allowed to divorce. You were
okay, so Marie, let me ask you something.
Let me just finish this point.
Sure.
You were allowed to take on a different wife. And one of the reasons, another reason is because sometimes you may marry somebody and that person may not be able to bear you any children. In that case, you don't divorce that person. You move on and find somebody who can bear your children.
Okay, now can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Marie, the father of your child, does he have another relationship with anyone else?
No.
And would it be acceptable to you if he did?
Yes.
And is he with you or not with you?
Yes, he's with me.
He's with you. And it would be acceptable to you if he had a relationship with someone else?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty extraordinary.
It might modify our relationship somewhat.
Beautifully said. It would modify your relationship.
Yes. But I would not, I've matured so much. I don't want to put myself on a pedestal, but I feel that I have evolved because, 2 years ago, if you had asked me this question, I would have said absolutely not. Divorce. But now I've been thinking a lot about these issues, and I think that I'm not in a position to tie anybody down. I'm not in a position to enslave anybody. Slavery is slavery. If somebody is with you and you tell that person what to do, that person has a need that he needs to fulfill, and you tell him, absolutely not, you cannot fulfill that need, that person becomes your slave. And the more enslaved an individual is, the more he's going to rebel. So I don't want to put anybody in a position to be my slave, and I don't feel that I have a right. Who am I to tell a person that you have to do this, you have to do that? If you want to modify the relationship, if you have a certain need that you need to fulfill, if I can handle that modification, I'll handle it. And if I cannot handle it, I'll say, okay, I don't condemn you, I'm out. But I have no right to tie somebody down and put a chain on their foot and say, you have to do this. Who
pretty extraordinary, Marie. Nice bunch of development.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for your show.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Modify. What a good word. What a good word. Modify the relationship. That's right. It's not change it. It's not break it. It's modify it. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Robert.
Hello, Robert.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to try to cut to the chase. I got really nervous waiting on the phone, so I'm trying to calm myself down.
Why don't I take a minute and let you calm yourself down and let you know I'm not going to rush you off the air, okay?
Okay.
So just take a minute and give yourself a breather, okay, Robert?
Heart pounding.
Yeah.
And throbbing.
It's exciting.
I'm going to speak for myself because that's all I can really do. I can't really be, assured of anybody else's reality. I can allow, it's once I feel betrayed, and it's because I'm needy and I allowed myself to be vulnerable. Now, the real question for me is, how am I going to relate to the neediness? As a person who has a lot of self-condemnation and self-hatred, I'm going to be ashamed and hate myself for having the neediness, which is going to make me even more needy to find somebody else to validate that I'm not a bad person.
Oh, good. So let me help you with it right there, Robert, okay? That's exactly, it's perfect. I mean, you're right where you are, but it is not true. Once you acknowledge, what we call neediness. So let's say we take neediness and we take it apart and it says frail, right? I'm frail. Yes. I feel broken. I feel frail. And therefore, I tend to be a little more hungry, right? I feel desperately hungry for affection, for love, for caring, for something like that. Therefore, I'm going to overlook certain things that don't feel good, and I'm going to be hurt. But here's the beginning of it. The beginning of it is, okay, I'm frail because I'm a little broken and I love myself. And therefore, I may do this for a while, but I'm not going to do it forever. And Robert, it's okay for you to be needy. It just means you need, you're feeling frail. And for now, this is the way it'll go. And then when that neediness feeds you and you wind up picking people who abuse you and do things to you, okay, that's a beginning. But it'll be different every time around. You'll grow.
Still somehow feels like, just go ahead and love yourself.
Not love yourself. No. Love is tough. I don't know.
Or just go ahead and accept where you're at.
Accept. You see, the word just in there is wrong.
I mean, and seek people in supportive environments such as Al-Anon.
Not necessarily. No. No, peak people in destructive environments. I don't care what you do.
That's true.
What I mean? I mean, do whatever you need to do. But look at yourself.
Where I'm trying to get to is a place, and I've been trying this for a long time, to just get to a place of self-forgiveness. It's okay to be needy, and it's just so incorporated into my nervous system that I feel that there is an internal taboo against it.
Yeah, okay, it'll change. You even felt it when you called on the radio today. See,
well,
that nervousness.
I'm calling because of the neediness.
Yeah, because that neediness was there and the nervousness was there. And I said to you, it's okay. Be nervous and calm down and I'll be with you, And you calmed down and you became very cogent and you were able to talk. So, I mean, you'll get there, Robert. You'll get there. Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you today. And I'm going to be with you again tomorrow, which is Wednesday, at 1 p.m. as well. And we do have a website, thepositivemind.com, where the archives are for all the programs we've done in the past. And I also recommend you pay attention to WBAI.org. It's quite a trip to journey through that website as well. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello there.
Yes, I'd also like to contribute. Based upon what I think Sus Marie said earlier on, I think I need to clarify as well that in the Caribbean, it's not that people lack communication, because many times we're small societies, but I think there's a level of maturity where people understand and accept that certain things will happen. Furthermore, for most of man's history on Earth, we have lived in polygamous societies. Monogamy is, I think, a farce in many ways. It's something that many of us aspire to, but many of us deep down know that it is not really working. And so when people put themselves on a pedestal that they're monogamous or the society is based on monogamy, I think to a certain degree that's hypocritical. What we have is a situation where we consider, and I'm from one of those relationships where my own father had relationships with three people. And so we as children realize that we have a bond, and my father never hid it. Most times in the Caribbean society it is not hidden as you think. Where it is hidden, there is a level of hypocrisy. Maybe the person is very religious, Christian religion, I mean, primarily, and therefore they try to hide it. But everybody knows what's happening, and many times the women relate to the other woman on the basis of the children. She may not be friends with the other woman, but when it comes to the children, you know your siblings, you know all of that.
And so do the children, what's your name, by the way?
My name is Sandra.
Sandra, do the children know each other? Do you get to know each other?
Absolutely.
These are your siblings too, right?
Majority of cases, the siblings know each other. Where it is hidden, it must be a case sometimes where it's either a social situation, the man or woman maybe of a higher social status, usually the man, and so he wants it hidden because, you know, maybe the woman just has to keep it hidden based upon the situation. It may expose him, his business, his power, whatever. But in the majority of cases, don't forget, the Caribbean is people, the majority of families, especially in Jamaica, are single family where the woman is the head of the family many times. My father is the head of my family, but in many cases, it's a woman who heads the family. And women basically are much more level-headed. I mean, after the excitement simmers down, yes, the man probably has another child elsewhere. What are you going to do? Hurt the child? The child has to be welcomed into the fold, and the child has to be accepted by the family. In the first place, the man's family is going to accept the child regardless of which woman the child is coming from. And in vice versa, in cases where women are the ones who are engaged in the polygamous relationship.
Sandra, we're going to have to be going. I really appreciate your telephone calling.
I think a lot of the
thank you very much for straightening us out with that as well.
Okay, so let us not get on a pedestal and a high horse.
I haven't seen anybody do that yet.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, so let us be clear on that.
Thanks, Sandra. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Exciting, good people. Hey, be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. This is John Coltrane. It's my welcome back to Michael G. Haskins.